Good morning. Good morning to each and every one of you, and welcome to our time together in worship, both here in the sanctuary and those of you who are joining us out in the parking lot. I do pray the Lord would bless you, bless us today as we come together and share in the corporate worship of our Lord Jesus Christ. I do, again, welcome you here with us this morning. If you would please join me on the back of your bulletin. And you can tell that things are beginning to get back to normal just a little bit. Our bulletin is stuffed with inserts. So we're getting back a little. But first of all, on the back side of the bulletin is the place you will now find our announcements. Today, immediately following the worship service, we will have a congregational meeting. We have a couple of pieces of business. Actually, I think only one now. One piece of business we're going to bring to your attention. And so we will take care of that immediately following worship today. Also, Youth Council, you guys are meeting immediately following that meeting down in the Friendship Classroom. Judy has something she wants to bring to your attention. You see a thank you note there from Leah and Christian. And the Adult Bible Study, I'd like to draw your attention to this particularly. We have bounced around a little bit in our dates, trying to meet as many different schedules as we possibly can and have everyone be able to attend. This past week on Monday evening we met, and we found that several could come and join us on Monday evenings rather than on Tuesday evenings. So from now on, we're going to meet on the second Monday of each month with for our adult Bible study, and we're studying Fearless. It is not too late for you to join us. We did meet this past Monday evening, but it was more of an introduction to our materials and the format that we will be using. And so if you are interested in joining us, it's $16 for the two books that we will be using. Just let Judy know, and we will love to have you on the second Monday of each month for our adult Bible study. Now, if you would, the inserts. First of all, if you would, take the white one and the Operation Christmas Child side of the gold one. First, the white insert. Some have asked for suggestions and criteria for what we can and cannot pack. Samaritan's Purse is pretty strict, rightly so, given where these packages possibly can go, so we have to be very careful what we put in those boxes. And so here are things to not include and also things to include, and that's on both sides of the white insert. Then if you will join me on the gold insert, Operation Christmas Child, two dates I want to draw your attention to. First of all, Sunday, November 15th, we will be collecting boxes here as we do each year, a bit earlier than we typically do. But we have been able to have reservations to go to Charlotte. And the second date I want you to look at is in the bottom paragraph, the third line. November 21st from 7 to 10, we will meet at the church at 4, stop and eat, and then go down to Charlotte and help pack boxes. Samaritan's Purse has a huge warehouse down there, and they've got things set up so you can have the distancing and the protocols, et cetera, et cetera. So we will be taken care of there. So Operation Christmas Child there for you. Now to the orange insert. It is two-sided, the one with our fall election schedule. We've had that before. But the one side I want to bring to your attention is the one dealing with trunk treats. October 31st from 6 to 7:30, we're going to have our trunk treats out in the parking lot. Now, we're not going to have our typical evening that we have done in the past with the hot dogs and the games and all of that. We're just simply going to have a place out back for our community to come, our church to come, and participate in trick-or-treating there. If you'd like to participate, please print your name there. And if you will make treat bags, give out trunk treats, et cetera, if you will, just provide that information. And if you have any questions, please call Ms. Taryn, and you see her number there at the bottom of that first paragraph at the top. All right. Also in your bulletin, you should have a ballot. I did not bring to your attention, but a ballot such as this for our congregational meeting today, that we will be voting by ballot rather than by voice voting. Our session has encouraged us to do that. All right. As has become our custom, this quiet time of silent prayer and preparation, as we turn our attention to our worship of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us spend just a few moments in prayer and preparation. Now let us be called to worship. Let us now attend to the Lord with undivided devotion, and let not our hearts be far from him when we draw near to him with our mouths and honor him with our lips. Let us now worship God, who is spirit and spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. Here in the sanctuary, if you would please stand with me and let's sing together. I sing the mighty power of God. Let's stand together. This is the message which we have heard of you, and we set our seals to it that it is true. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, once again we come this morning joining our voices together to worship the Almighty, to worship you in spirit and truth as we have been given here, because you do desire such people to come and to worship you. And we do come here together today as your children, as your church, submitting to you, humbly bowing before you, so that we might indeed give you the honor and glory that you are due. And also, Father, as we look upon you and see your majesty and your glory and your greatness, we then also look upon ourselves and see our fallen nature. So hear this prayer of confession, Lord. Merciful God, you made us in your image with a mind to know you, a heart to love you, and a will to serve you. But our knowledge is imperfect, our love inconstant, our obedience incomplete. Day by day we fail to grow in your likeness, in your tender love. Forgive us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. Please be seated. And as you are seated, I would like to assure you of the forgiveness that our Lord gives us. The completed work of Jesus Christ brings that assurance to us. From Ezekiel, he says, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, a new spirit I will put within you, I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you that heart of flesh. It is indeed a wonderful gift that we have been given in the love and care of Jesus Christ. To know that this passage spoken of Ezekiel long before the coming of Jesus Christ is nonetheless so very true. And I'm thankful as I look back upon my younger years, my immaturity, I can see that the existence of that old heart of stone that was arrogant, abrasive to many. And thankful that Jesus Christ did bring to me, as he did to you, that heart of flesh that is now able to be formed, able to be renewed, able to be formed in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Now you might ask, if that heart of flesh has been given to us and we are formed in the likeness of Jesus Christ, why is there still sin? Why do we still sin? Everybody still sins, right? We do. Well, that's a very difficult answer to give. Other than, I think the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, in his decrees, wants us in that constant state of repentance. That constant state of looking upon his grace. That constant remembrance of daily, hour by hour, minute by minute, as the song goes, I need thee, I need thee, oh, every hour I need thee. Amen? Amen. Now, if you would, join me in the prayer portion just below there. If there's any kids in here, I think all of them are already down at the fellowship hall. But the prayer portion, it's good to see Mr. Lackey with us this morning. He's had an eventful week, but it's good to see him with us this morning. The others here we have mentioned before, but continue to pray for each of these. And I'd like to have you add one, and that is Mr. Dwayne Moore. Dwayne tested positive for the virus this week, so he and Terrell are now in quarantine. As Eddie was telling me, he doesn't have any of the symptoms, but yet he tested positive, so maybe just a very minor case that has affected him. Let's pray together. Mighty and gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we come together this morning to worship you, as I have said, but here in this time of intercessory prayer, we lift up to you the things that are on our hearts, the things that are about our families, the things that are about our community and our country, this world. And here as I lead this prayer, we all are joined together in the time of prayer, and so we lift these things up to you, and we pray for these that are sick and hurting, as we've mentioned, Dwayne and the virus, and again, it's good to see David Lackey here with us. These others, as Kitsy began her treatments this week, we do continue to pray for each of these. For our friends in Belize, Christian Panada and He-Man Salam, I do pray that you'd be with them and bless them and hold them through this very, very difficult time. Our shut-ins, Father, we lift those up to you as well. Father, I lift up to you this church, and I continue to pray for the wisdom of the leadership of the church as we begin to look at ways to continue to open our ministries to our people and to the community. Father, this is a great challenge. And so I do pray that we would go about these things wisely and in good order. But as people of God, we are to be worshipers of God. And as I've said, we don't have to come in the church to do that. But such a great aspect of our Christian faith is the fellowship of the saints. Coming together to encourage one another, to know that we are seated here together as we enjoy so much in doing. And so, Lord, again, just take us day by day through these things as we continue to provide ministries for our people in order to bring glory and honor to you. Father, I pray for our country as we've gone through a confirmation hearings this week of a new justice. That vote is coming up. Again, Father, we see the divisiveness in the two parties and individuals within those. And I just don't understand why we have gotten to the point where if I disagree with you, that means I must hate you. That's not the case at all, Lord. It was a good symbol to see that the ranking members of the Judiciary Committee, after it was all over, actually hugged one another, which was totally against the rules. But it was a symbolic message that did not go unseen. Father, we pray for our president, the Congress, both houses, Lord. As we are in this election season, much is being said and done that is just doesn't seem to be bringing us closer together as a country. Father, I pray for your peace to be among the people. And as we know, there's only one way that true peace can come, and that is in the person of Jesus Christ. So I pray that if they do not know you, that they would come to know you. Holy Spirit, go and penetrate those old hearts of stone, as we read from Ezekiel, and bring that formidable heart of flesh to each. Father, we thank you so much that we can come to you in a time of prayer like this, as we pray in the strong name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. Let's stand together once again here in the sanctuary, and those out in your automobiles, please join us as we sing a Bible song and a beautiful title, The Endless Mercy of God. Please join me in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 3. I'm going to handle this passage a little bit different than I normally do. I'm not going to read to you the entire chapter. And in just a moment, you'll see why. But join me in chapter 3 of Nehemiah. You see it there on the projection. And if you would, just sort of peruse down through the chapter. You can see it, Doug has it on your projection there. Scan over all the names. I didn't count the number of names here, but there are quite a few. Eliashib, Sassanon, Zadok, Joiada, Hanan, Shalom, and he goes on and on and on and on. 32 verses of names. Doug, you can take the projection down now if you'd like. Why? Why list all the names? Why list all of the names of those who were involved in rebuilding the gates of Jerusalem? One commentator I read said, this is nothing more than an intrusive waste of time, listing all these names. Another calls it a colorless memorandum of assignments, serving no purpose, really. So why the list? This is holy text. It is the infallible, inerrant word of the living God. The Holy Spirit inspired Ezra/Nehemiah to write this. So is it right of us, as this gentleman says, it's an intrusive, it's a colorless memorandum of assignments? You go to the book of Numbers, and how many names listed over and over and over again? We believe this portion of the book of Nehemiah is a report that he would have given King Artaxerxes in his travels back and forth. Because Nehemiah went back and forth from Persia to Jerusalem many times. And so, in going back, being the accountable person that he was, would give a report to King Artaxerxes, because Artaxerxes is paying for basically everything going on in Jerusalem. And so, he has this report. However, we should not regard this list of names simply as a list of names given in a report. Because these are people who left the comfort of their homes. These are people who left their countries, their cities, their families to come to Jerusalem to be a part of God's providential care for the nation of Israel. These are the names of those God used to fulfill his mission. So why list Paul's name in his writing? God used him. So why list Eliashib, the great high priest here? He's part of God's use in providing that providential care for his people. These are very, very important individuals, not just some waste of ink on paper. Think of New Sterling. 233 years we've been here. Think of all the people, all of the names of individuals that have come through those doors. They've come here just as you've come here. Very important purpose, A, to worship, but then also to provide, to be in part, that important part of God's will in providing ministries for this community. 233 years. How old is our country? Just a tad older than that. 233 years. Important people, driven people such as yourselves, making the sacrifice to make New Sterling a place of ministry to glorify the Lord. Are your names unimportant? No. Again, some may look at this chapter and see simply a list of names, but there is so, so much more to be seen here. So as we dig in here a little bit, don't think only of these listed here on this page, but also think of us. As we go through the organization of these names, and I'll bring out a few to you, yes, we're learning from Holy Text here and what he has, what God has for us, but also think about ourselves as we are working here in the ministry of New Sterling. Now, just as I did last week, this is going to be an incredibly practical what we should do type of message. So what do we learn from Nehemiah's report? First of all, we learn priority. As you go through this list and you see the gates that they rebuild, There's a certain form, a certain flow. And he begins at the sheep gate. Look with me at verse 1. Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brothers, the priest, and they built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and set its doors. They consecrated it as far as the Tower of the Hundred and as far as the Tower of Hananel. So here we see in verse 1 priority. And it's right that it begins, first of all, with Eliashib, the high priest. And it is right that he and his priestly brothers set that good example. Set that good example. Spiritual leaders at every level should be those who are about setting a good example for the others to follow. Also, starting at the sheep gate is very symbolic. Nehemiah, by putting his project plan together and says, okay, Eliashib, you're going to start at the sheep gate, and that'll be the first gate we build. Why? What Nehemiah is saying, we put God first. Because the sheep gate is in a very curious place in the wall of Jerusalem. It's right in front of the temple. And so, this gate being close to the temple provided quick access, and it took its name because of the young sheep that would be brought in and taken right into the temple for worship and for sacrifice. And so, here we see the sheep gate right in front of the temple, and it's putting God first as we bring in the sheep for worship and that sacrificial system. And there is little doubt that Jesus Christ himself passed through this gate many times as he approached the temple. And in Jesus passing through the gate, we see not the spotless lambs that we used in the Old Testament system, but we see the perfect Lamb of God going in and out of this sheep gate, in and out of the sheep gate, being that final sacrifice. And so first we see here priority, putting God first. And this is enforcing what Jesus taught. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We see Nehemiah doing this as he begins rebuilding the gates. A small matter? Some would say so. But in Nehemiah's plan, in God's plan, here are the high priest leading the way, rebuilding the gates, providing the good example, and they start at the sheep gate, putting God first. Nehemiah's doing this as he's rebuilding Jerusalem. And as I said, I want us to look at us. Are we putting God first in our ministries? Washing dishes in the kitchen. Brother Lawrence. The menial task. Teaching Sunday school. Preaching. Trunk treats. What's God got to do with trunk treats? Reaching out into our community, providing fellowship, et cetera, et cetera. Next, what we learn from this list of names is that they are very unified. There is unity here. The success in rebuilding the gates will take a lot of teamwork. It's not just for one person, one group to do. And people from a wide variety of backgrounds, of trades and experiences were needed to accomplish all that had to be done in rebuilding all of the gates around the walls of Jerusalem. Although from differing backgrounds, they were all unified in their work, and they worked closely together. We read through the text repeatedly, the different people working together. Look with me at verse 6. Now I'm going to butcher some of these names, so y'all hang on. Joiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshulam, the son of Besodeiah, repaired the gate of Yeshana. They laid its beams and set its doors, its bolts, and bars. And next to them repaired Melateah. Go to verse 8. Next to them, Uziel. Go to verse 9. Next to them, Raphai, the son of Hur. And you read that all the way through the chapter. Beside this group worked another group. Beside this group worked another group. Differing backgrounds, different experiences, different trades. But they all worked together. They all work together. We see the same in the church today. At least I pray that we do. Take just a minute and look around you. Those of you on the front row, look back. Those of you out in the cars, look at your neighbor over in the next car. And think of the differing backgrounds. Think of the different experiences. Think of the different levels of education, places of education, work, family, countries of origin. Different. But when we come together for what? One common goal. Whether we're building the Angel House, painting a house in Belize, working in the kitchen, teaching Sunday school, all of us have been gifted. All of us have different backgrounds, but yet we are unified. I pray we are. Anybody think we're not? Then look outside our church. The other churches in our community. Other churches in our county, in our state, in the country, around the world. If all true to the gospel, all working together for a common goal. One of the reasons I love traveling to other countries and going to worship services in other countries. We used to go to Mexico, to Merida. It's on the western part of the Yucatan Peninsula. I can't speak a lick of Spanish. But when you're sitting in the worship service with them, you have no problem identifying that there is worship going on. And you can't understand a word. Differing backgrounds, different language, but the same goal. We're here to worship and to glorify God. These working on these walls, these working on these gates, come from all sorts of different places, with all sorts of different backgrounds. But one goal, one unified goal, and the diversity of all these people. And that brings us to the next thing that we see here among these workers, unselfishness. Unselfishness. These volunteers came from surrounding towns. All the folks working on the wall, they're not from Jerusalem. They're from Jericho, Tekoa, Gibeon, Mizpah, Zenoa, and so on and so on. They all came in to help rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. The rebuilding of the wall meant very little to these who lived outside Jerusalem. But they were unselfish by leaving their homes, leaving their work, leaving their chores back at home to come help Nehemiah and the Israelites rebuild the wall. That's why it took so little time to do it. Because they were all working together. Do we not do this in the church today? In our unselfishness, following the command Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So we go. We go, leaving our homes, leaving our places of comfort, getting outside our little comfort zones, going out into the country, out into the world, going out, being unselfish in many different ways, going personally, but also giving. As I've said many times, a missionary team is made up of three parts: the goers, the senders, and the prayers. That's unselfish. Even the sending, by praying, financing, we work just as these are around this wall. Many of you have gone and done in Statesville, Stony Point, Wilmington. Just a couple of us went to Wilmington. Harlan, Kentucky. Biloxi, Mississippi. Bayou La Batre, Alabama. Belize. We go, unselfishly leaving our comfort. Now, does that mean everybody should go? No, because we need somebody to stay here and take care of things. We need somebody to reach out in the communities here. But again, it's all based in our unselfish ability, unselfish desire to go and help those who need help. The Israelites needed help. And so Nehemiah, in his wisdom and leadership, recruited all of these individuals you see here in chapter 3 to help rebuild just the gates. The walls come later. Well, there's a downside to this as well. We'll see here, I'll read to you just in a moment. As with many ministries, sadly, there are disappointments. Look with me at verse 5. Again, giving all these names, next to them, next to them, next to them. And then verse 5, next to them, the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles would not stoop to serve their Lord. One translation reads, their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work under their supervisors. These nobles thought the construction work was beneath them, and they would not dirty their hands working under the supervision of others. What's the word we see here? Pride. Pride. Pride inflates our self-importance, and it makes worshiping God almost impossible. This is exactly opposite to what the Lord has taught us. In Isaiah 53, see Jesus Christ being referred to as the suffering servant. Great humility. In Philippians chapter 2, we read of the humility of our Lord portrayed as he approached the cross. And then in John 13, Jesus says, I have set you a good example so that you should do as I have done. Sadly, there are many in the church who will not stoop to perform the menial tasks that are sometimes necessary. And it brings disappointment to others in the church. Sadly, every ministry has its disappointments from time to time. Nehemiah has shown us some here in his work. All right, let's get back to the positives. Nehemiah's account of rebuilding the wall speaks of commitment. Commitment. One of the things that saddens me as pastor is lack of commitment. It's true in the church, but larger, it's true in our society. The commitment of marriage, the commitment to employer, the commitment to fill in the blank, commitment within the church. Well, so-and-so said something, and I'm just not going back. Well, you know, he did it, I'm just not. Commitment. Here in Nehemiah's account, we see the sacrificial service by many who were not builders, who were not masons, who were not carpenters. Nehemiah mentions the priests we've read. Also, if you read through this account, you read of goldsmiths, those who make perfumes, merchants, even the district rulers, the civil leaders were involved in rebuilding the gates. And so we see a level of commitment by those that when they finished their task, they would go somewhere else and begin working as well. Look at verse 4. And next to them, Meremoth, the son of Uriah, son of Hakok, repaired. Then if you go over to verse 21, after him, Meremoth, the son of Uriah. Okay, over in verse 4, he's working in one area. And then over here in verse 21, he's working in another area. Commitment to finish the job. Well, I finished my task. I'm gone. No, we stay until it's done. So Nehemiah is teaching us here that the people were committed to the work of the ministry until it was finished. We in the church must have that level of commitment. How many down through the ages who were not trained in the ministry yet were committed and fulfilled the needs of the ministry? Many tasks viewed as small and behind the scenes are performed weekly. Cleaning, providing meals, flower arranging, building repairs, tree and bush. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And much of those things will not get any attention until they're not done. Again, look to the many tasks weekly performed weekly by some of you, many of you. They'll probably never gain much attention. But you do them, you're committed to them, because Lord, the God, our God, has laid them on your heart to do for his glory and not your own. Commitment. Again, one of the things that saddens me most is the lack of commitment to what we've been called to do. Now, what Nehemiah has shown us here are the true servants of the ministry. True servants of the ministry. Their ministry was construction. But they reveal what's needed in the Lord's by the Lord's people, from the Lord's people in every ministry. Priority, unity, unselfishness, commitment. All of these are needed. All of these make up the part of our ministry. Each of us doing our own part. And also, as I said, there's disappointments. And we certainly have those. Nehemiah had his disappointments. We've had ours here. Now, we move on just a bit, and we ask the question, what will these who work so diligently leave behind? What do you leave behind in a ministry that you perform? What do we leave behind? One commentator writes, speaking of Nehemiah's work here, it is a magnificent thing when a Christian can leave something behind which testifies to God's goodness in our lives. So ask yourself the question, what do we leave behind that will speak to God's glory and our faithfulness in the ministry? New Sterling, 233 years old? That's a pretty strong testament. That's a pretty strong testament. But ask the questions personally of each of us. These here who rebuilt the gates and later the wall left behind a living testament to God's desire to provide for his people, a wall of protection. And a portion of that great wall still stands there today. However, it's not only here on earth that the work of the ministry is seen. It's not only what we leave behind here. But as I'm about to read to you from Revelation, it is what we take with us also. Revelation 14 says, "Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From now on, blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds will follow them." Not only will those that follow see what's accomplished here and give God the glory, but these works will also be known in heaven. And see, that applies to us today. What do we leave behind here? As I've said earlier, we've lost some giants in our church this year. Think on those that have passed away this year, just this year. And by the way, I've been involved in 94 funerals since I've been here. 94. But just looking at those who passed this year, the testament they leave behind, communion bread, work in the cemetery, Mr. Wayne and his construction and dealing with things here, Miss O'Lean teaching Sunday school for how many years? 40 plus? And so those we look upon, you know, and miss greatly, but we think about what they left behind here. At Miss Merle's funeral, Jeff stood up and talked about his time in her Sunday school classroom and how that endeared them to one another. So we leave behind those things, memories, but accomplishments. But as John writes in Revelation chapter 14, those deeds, those acts, will also follow us into heaven and will be known by the heavenlies. What will we be known for? What am I leaving behind? What are you leaving behind? And it applies to us today, as I've said. Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." And he is building his church through you. He's using you. And your priority, your commitment, your unselfishness to the ministries and the different calls that he's given each of us. And he's using us to build the church. And given the pandemic that we are going through, we got some building to do. We have some building to do. He's building his church through you, the people of God, and your works will follow you into glory. These are true servants that we read of here in Nehemiah 3. What account would be written about us? What account will be written about us? True servants are those that follow this biblical example and in the power of the Holy Spirit accomplish what we are given to do, just as Nehemiah and all of these individuals accomplished what they were given to do. Those are true servants. Amen and amen. We're going to sing a song that you probably know, but actually the second verse of this song speaks of us working together in unity. Let's stand together and sing. They'll know we are Christian. Through that, hear the Lord's benediction. May the grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the power of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen and amen.